the offside rule. We get it with Lindsay Hooper.
Hello, it's another Offside Rule podcast. They come thick and fast, don't they? Every Monday we release the Offside Rule. I hope you're enjoying them so far. It's myself, Lindsay Hooper, Kate Borsay.
Hello.
And also Hayley McQueen.
Hello.
Remember, you can listen via SoundCloud and iTunes. We do get released every Monday. Like I say, we've got a Twitter account at Offside Rule Pod, and we're also on Facebook. So find us and give us a like if you don't mind. We have got three great topics coming up. This is what we're going to be discussing today. A reaction to a recent football topic, the Suarez diving incident. Girls, Brendan Rodgers coming out and criticising Suarez. We're going to talk cheating in football. The old guard, we're entering the second stage of the Premier League season, and managers are going to turn to their more experienced players. So I want you to pick out two over 30s or 30 and overs who you think will be key in the second half charge. We've got Faye Carruthers with a non-league roundup. That's coming up. Our third topic is always a little bit more jovial. So we're going to go back page football headlines. I've been promising this one for weeks since your Celtic one. Remind us what that was.
Supercaligo-ballistic Celtic are atrocious.
Yay, I love it. We're going to come up with three more back pages that really entertained us, and also come up with one of our own.
Ooh.
A Twitter topic of the week as well, and a roundup from La Liga. We welcome Rhiannon Jones to the Offside Rule fold. Welcome, Rhiannon.
The female take on football.
So before we get into that, very quickly, girls, we'd like to discuss a few things going on, a few things that have happened since the last podcast. Pep Guardiola going to Bayern Munich. What did you make of that?
Very savvy move there from Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. I think the fit at Bayern's great for him. He gets to develop the squad. Watch out for German football, I would say, because it's a lot more similar to English football than Spanish is. And I know that the Spanish respect our football, but we could have a serious rivalry here. German football, I think, is about to get a lot more interesting.
You say a savvy move by Bayern. I think a savvy move by Pep. Mm. He is going to have guaranteed stability. He's signed a 3-year contract. Also, with a side that's loyal to their management, he will have time to develop. And I think he will really put his own stamp on that team. It was quite a good fit.
Yeah, we know the way that the press, of course, kind of will really criticise and scrutinise anybody who messes up at any point. Had he have come to the Premier League off the back of Barcelona, all eyes on him for every single little move. The German press is not like that. I was with Owen Hargreaves at the FA 150th anniversary launch the day that it was announced that Pep was taking over at Bayern. Of course, Owen Hargreaves, I might say, who is he? But he was a former footballer who played for Manchester United, Manchester City, just for his own team now, Owen Hargreaves FC, in his back garden. He, of course, was at Bayern Munich and said he thinks it's a really good fit there. So good luck to him. And maybe when his 3-year contract runs out, if he does stay that long, Sir Alex Ferguson might be leaving United. Mourinho will come in there. Pep will take over at Manchester City. And that's where it all begins.
And to sort of back up the point about the Premier League, the other big story that's emerged, Nigel Adkins getting the sack from Southampton. I mean, this is a manager. Nice. This is a manager that has done back-to-back promotions, got a side from League One into the top flight, and he's shown the door. And did you know as well, in the match programme, he was airbrushed out of it, out of the match programme for the game against Everton. I think it's despicable, and I think, you know, I don't want to not get behind the new manager, Mauricio Pochettino, but I just think that the way that Adkins has been treated is just a shining example as to why football sometimes is a murky business.
Gotcha, Pochettino. Who is he, by the way? He's come from Espanyol. He did quite well for them, left them at the foot of the league, though. He's supposed to be really big into developing players. He bought through 12 youth players, so everyone's singing about that. But the fact is, he did have to bring those 12 youth players through because the financial problems at Espanyol were such that he had no choice. It's definitely a risk taking him on.
And Southampton weren't even in the relegation zone at the point that he got sacked. I just didn't understand it.
And why do they do this when the programme is going to print? There's a game coming up at the weekend. The timing is always just so wrong. And hearing the new manager in his post-match when it was all translated, I'm just not up for that.
Makes you worried.
Hi, I'm Paul Merson, and you're listening to the Offside Rule podcast.
We'll move on straight to topic number one, a reaction to a recent football topic. I told you that Brendan Rodgers this week, we were going to talk about cheating. He came out and criticised Suarez for admitting to diving. So football has many different guises when it comes to cheating. We could talk diving girls, handballs, deliberate fouls. But what famous cheating incidents do we think are the most unforgivable from the past 20 years? You can choose one or two incidents, but we want to keep it brief because we tend to go over. Kate Borsay.
Thank you very much, Lindsay Hooper. I'm going to start with the man who denied Republic of Ireland the chance to appear at the World Cup in 2010, Monsieur Thierry Henry, in that decisive match where France were playing Republic of Ireland, and his handball led to William Gallas getting the equaliser that gave France a 2-1 aggregate win, broke Irish hearts in Paris. Afterwards, as if that wasn't bad enough, he came out and freely admitted it. A man for admitting it, perhaps, but it didn't help the Republic of Ireland hearts at all. Reminiscent, of course, of one of the most famous cheating incidents in all time, Diego Maradona's hand of God against England in the World Cup in 1986. Little fact for you there, Glenn Hoddle, I heard recently, couldn't talk about it. Like, not only were they incredibly upset about it on the day and for a little while afterwards, he could not talk about that for weeks and months afterwards. It affected him so badly. Second one I'm going to mention is a bit of a random one here from Gothenburg. Their Danish stopper Kim Christensen cheated. It was found in Swedish league matches. He very handily put his flimsy upright goalposts a little bit closer together than they actually should have been. He would have got away with it had he not tried it earlier in the season in a televised game. He was told to pack it in by the ref, and he held his hands up after he was found out on it. But yeah, outrageous. The goalkeeper making his goalposts, well, making his actual goal smaller. Hayley.
That is naughty. Yeah, mine is just to reiterate the point that cheating in football happens every single weekend. From Sunday League football to the kids playing in the park, right up to the Premier League and north of the border in the Highlands as well. A player dramatically throws himself to the ground, rolls about in agony. We've seen it happen. They're acting injured. There's an Academy Award just waiting for them up the tunnel. He knows there's nothing wrong with him. He's fooled the referee. Those without action replays in the stadium and there, some realise he's cheating. Others perhaps don't. Afterwards, we all know that, yes, he is cheating. A player fouling opposition, but protests dramatically to the referee that he didn't foul him. Cheating. There's the flip side. You're a player and you haven't been fouled, but you think it could look like you have been fouled. It's easy to see you haven't. But for a moment, you think you can get away with it. You think the referee's back was just turned or he wasn't quite looking your way, or that the protests of the opposition are going to go unheard. And you, the player who thinks you've been fouled, who's again just lying on the ground, there's absolutely no contact whatsoever, and tricks the referee into thinking that you have been. Cheating. A player who claims a throw or a corner from his team, knowing it should go the other way. Everybody does it. Women do it in football as well. I've been known to do it. Cheating. Yeah. A man who sleeps with his brother's wife. That is also, by the way, cheating. So there you have it. My other one is a fan cheating a team.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Power. Not the Phil the Power Taylor. Carl Power, do you remember the story goes, shortly after Manchester United
team
published
photo.
It?
Team photo, yes. Team photo, yes.
The team photo came out in 2001 and the fans started to ask about the identity of a man on the end that they had absolutely no idea who he was. He was appearing with a very well-known lineup in the kit, smartly dressed, mm-hmm. stood there. Just, you know, going along with it. The players didn't seem to realise that they didn't know who it was. This new signing that they didn't know about, didn't want to ask. Yeah, there was a national manhunt. He was identified as Carl Power, 36-year-old Manchester resident and practical joker, nicknamed Fatneck. It didn't start there. Yeah.
Who is he nicknamed Fatneck by?
I have no idea, but I'm guessing he wasn't small. Yeah, he'd managed to get in the picture by waiting in the stadium for 3 hours. And when all the players came, so he knew they were having a team photo taken, just very carefully waited, ran out, just as a photographer, could have possibly even been a John or Matt Peters, the official photographer at Manchester United, certainly weren't going to say to somebody, oh, who is this man in the end, who just presumed he was one of the players. Not long after, actually, he dresses in a batsman's helmet during one of the English cricket team's matches and almost made it into the game. And he played a few serves with a friend on centre court at Wimbledon before Tim Henman went out.
Fair play, why not?
I think this man's a genius. And also, he deserves it. If he's hanging around for 3 hours, then get in the photo, mate. You're welcome to it.
I've got a quick one for you, actually, Linz.
Oh, is it Wolves related?
Yes, it is. It is Wolves related. Catch this. Major Frank Buckley was an innovative manager in many ways, so the reports go, not least for his experimentation with performance-enhancing drugs. This is back in the day, by the way, a long, long time ago. He was the manager in charge of Wolverhampton Wanderers, also responsible for injecting players with slices of monkey testicles after the major had tried it himself and felt the benefits. Impressed by improvements in Wolves' form, Portsmouth manager Jack Tin followed suit. A Football League investigation resulted in a declaration that players could use the glands on a voluntary basis, but no one should be ordered to do so against their will.
Well, that would explain a few things, wouldn't it? The next one is that famous book, Yapstam, and how he annoyed Fergie. I mean, Hayley, you'll know all about this. He admitted that Fergie told players to dive in an attempt to earn penalties in Europe, might I add. I sort of know where Fergie's coming from here with the continental thing, but apparently Fergie did say it was fair game on the continent and that players should do it. Of course, that whipped up a storm and there was all the frenzy after the book. That was my other form of cheating, and you must read that book if you've not read it already. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Waterstones.
Sponsored by...
Hi, this is Kirsty Gallagher, and I love the Offside Rule podcast.
Topic two, the old guard. So we're going into the second stage of the Premier League season, and I want you to select which players aged 30 or over we think are invaluable to different Premier League sides marching forward. You need your old guard either to survive, to get a better placing up the league, or even maybe finish in a Champions League spot. Mm-hmm. But who do you rely on? Who do you rely on, Hayley McQueen?
Obviously, following Manchester United, there are all the obvious ones. You have Paul Scholes. You, of course, have Ryan Giggs. You have your Michael Carricks. There are quite a lot of old, experienced heads there. Of course, Giggs completely defied ageing. One of the world's best players, a living legend. Legs just never seem to tire.
It wasn't the monkey testicles, was it?
It's the Pilates, apparently. But as far as I can remember, going back to being a kid in my bedroom at home, me and my sister shared a room, bit of masking tape down the middle, but we had a shared love at least for Ryan Giggs. We actually had posters of him. I had a notebook. Do you remember when you used to cover your jotters with wallpaper and brown paper with the sellotape that didn't stick to some of the anaglypta or whatever it was called?
Anaglypta?
Oh, I might have made that up. that kind of wallpaper that sticks out. It's got air behind it.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I had a jotter. And instead of covering it in some nice, neat wallpaper from the attic or the brown paper from, you know, the local shop, I had a picture of a cat, a skull and crossbones, New Kids on the Block, and Ryan Giggs' head. Mm. Oh, yes, that summed up my youth. So there you go. And I think Mark Owen was on the back as well. Yeah, so there we go. So there is Ryan Giggs. So he's been around as long as I can remember. And I mean, I'm well into my 30s. Not quite as old as Ryan Giggs, but I'm of the era that, of course, grew up with him and is still watching him and almost can't believe it. But somebody else I grew up watching a lot of as well is 40-year-old Mark Schwarzer. Mm. When we discuss sort of overage players or ripe players, I guess you could say, in their prime, it's normally involving goalkeepers because they do seem to last that little bit longer. He's played internationally for Australia, racking up the air miles, yet still performing. He played for, I think, over 10 years at Middlesbrough. I think one of the biggest things, mistakes that they made, was not keeping hold of Mark Schwarzer and letting him go. But great, Fulham have kind of reaped the benefits of Middlesbrough not making sure that they kept hold of one of their greatest ever. He was to Middlesbrough what I think Schmeichel was to Manchester United.
So I'll go on to mine. Now, there are loads to kind of choose from here. And I just wanted to give a shout out for Frank Lampard, because I still, in my heart of hearts, can't believe that he's not been offered a new contract at Chelsea. And when you look at his stats, it just makes it even more unbelievable. He's 34. He finished last season with the second highest average match rating for Chelsea. So he's a But you know, everyone knows that he's a big player for them. He scored 8 goals in the Premier League this season. That only puts him goals-wise behind Michu, Theo Walcott and Gareth Bale. So, you know, you can't deny his record. My two, Steven Gerrard. I can't have this discussion without talking Gerrard because I know as a Liverpool fan, he's such an influential man for your team. And when you need to win the FA Cup against West Ham back in 2006, you need a Steven Gerrard. You really do. If you look at sort of overall points, and I had a quick look at my fantasy league here, he's third in the fantasy league stats in terms of his sort of overall rating, minutes played, goals scored, etc. Didn't make too many appearances last season. This season, he seems to be rejuvenated under Brendan Rodgers, and Brendan Rodgers has put a lot of emphasis on him for this season. He scored 6 goals, not the highest for a person in his position, but Brendan Rodgers is definitely a fan of chucking lots of sort of forward-minded players on the pitch, and that's meant that Gerrard's had to sit back a little bit. Assists, though, he's an absolute gem when it comes to assists. 11 in the Premier League so far this season, only bettered by Carlos Tevez and equaled by Juan Mata and Eden Hazard. My other player that I want to shout is someone who's had such an interesting career, and he's such a stalwart and such a reliable character as well, Grant Holt. I love the way that his career's run, and such a motivation for the Norwich players around him as well. Last season, he had a really good season. This season's not started off so well, but last season, he was kind of mainly used as a sub, but towards the second half of the campaign, so about this time last season, he had an amazing run, ended up being voted Player of the Year for the third season in succession, inducted into the Norwich City Hall of Fame in March last year. There was even talk of him having an England place under Roy Hodgson for the 2012 Euros. He went to Norwich City, who are in League One, and has travelled with Norwich from League One to Championship to Premier League. And I think what an amazing character and what a stalwart, and someone who I hope will be with Norwich for several years to come.
OK, my first one is Mr. Phil Neville. Stand forward, will you? Captain of Everton.
I wonder what Gary Neville's thinking. Yeah, he's got his Monday Night Football. Yeah, he's got his great career with Sky. And he's like, yeah, my brother's still playing.
Do you know what? I had that very same thought yesterday night when I was watching Southampton play Everton. And I actually thought to myself, I wonder how Gary feels about Fizzer still being such an influence in the Premier League and in the game of, you know, playing football.
And I think he's well gel.
Well, gel is my key word here, because this is it. I've chosen him because I think he gels that Everton squad. And I honestly think that David Moyes, he needs to do half a pep talk at halftime, because Phil Neville will do the other half and he'll do it out on the pitch. I love the fact that they extended his contract for another year. I think it goes to show just how important he is to the side. I don't think from a footballing point of view that he's firing on all cylinders anymore, but I still think that he is someone that is a crucial part of the setup at Everton and will be at Goodison Park for the foreseeable. And I think even when he retires, there will be a role for him there. And I imagine that they will create one, and he's just somebody that they need around the place. On to my next one, Kevin Nolan at West Ham. And he's 30, so he comes in age 30 and over. I just got in on the way that I worded it at the beginning. Kevin Nolan at West...
I'm actually changing the topic remits to suit yourself.
I did on this occasion.
Okay,
so 30 years old, Kevin Nolan, a galvaniser. I'm using all the G words. So we had a jeller in Phil Neville and we have a galvaniser in Kevin Nolan. He's a gritty player, isn't he? And he also quite aggressive, but he is that player that will take it to another side. And I think he will be influential in West Ham staying up this season. I really do think in terms of goals as well, he's always got a few in his locker. I'm sure we'll see a few more second half of the season, and they could be crucial. I see West Ham, the way that Sam Allardyce has set the team up as well, getting a lot of 1-0 victories that will get them the points and get them along the way, and this could be a player that surely gets a few of those goals in amongst the next few months. So were you going to say something, Kayleigh?
Yeah, I was just going to, I just thought he was 29 there for a second, but he's not. He is in his 30s. I had a bit of an unfortunate situation involving Kevin Nolan, not him personally. There was message boards. Apparently I was married to Kevin Nolan. 2008, we got hitched. No, he just has a wife called Hayley, and somebody got a little bit mixed up because her maiden name sounded very similar to mine. I think it might have been McLean, not McQueen. There you have it.
I see.
Oh, there you go. I've never even met the guy.
So let's take a quick interlude, but I will tease you to come back after the break. I'm learning from Hayley McQueen. Come back and join us because we're going to have back page headlines. We're making up our own. We're going to have a bit of fun. Just talk about some that have entertained us over the years. But first, Faye Carruthers has a roundup of all things non-league.
Oh, thanks, Lynn. Very kind of you. You've not mentioned the mighty Luton Town getting through to the fifth round of the FA Cup. I am, of course, going to aim to be balanced as always, but Luton were amazing. Get in! And in case you didn't hear me shouting it from the rooftops, the score was Norwich City 0, Luton Town 1. Hero of the hour, Scott Rendell, scored with 10 minutes to go. Luton, therefore, becoming the first non-league team since Sutton United back in 1989 to beat top-flight opposition in the FA Cup. Amazing result. However, wasn't to be, unfortunately, for Macclesfield Town, who were also flying the flag for the Blue Square Bet Premier. They lost 1-0 to Wigan, but manager Steve King thought the Premier League side were there for the taking and was very disappointed, said they should have had a penalty in the first half. They dominated the game. Very harsh for them, but a fantastic achievement getting to the fourth round of the competition for the first time in their history in the first place. Right, we need to get back to league matters now, though, and fire through some of this week's transfer news. Darren Byfield has joined Tamworth after being released by AFC Telford. Cambridge United have brought in loan signing Matthew Fletcher. Macclesfield have signed striker Dean McDonald in a free transfer and goalkeeper Joe Anion on loan from Shrewsbury. Ebbsfleet have signed Gareth Gwillem from AFC Wimbledon and Forest Green have signed Watford defender Dale Bennett on a 2.5-year deal. That one is subject to a medical. Stockport County, meanwhile, have confirmed Darije Kalasic as their new manager, replacing Jim Gannon. Now, more games falling foul of the weather again. Check out bluesquarefootball.com or the non-league paper for a list of new fixture dates for all those postponed games. And there'll be more from me next week.
Thank you very much, Faye. By the way, Faye was on good form at the Christmas party, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Oh, fine.
Looking nice with her lacy arms. I like that top. Very.
Oh, I love a lacy arm.
I love a lacy arm. Me too.
She's like Little Red Riding Hood dashing into the tapper's place in from the snow in her big red jacket, looking all sexy as she is.
And can I just say, and guys, you should check out the Offside Rule Facebook page for this, but our Russian correspondent, Kate Partridge, when I showed the photos to my friend said she actually looks Russian.
She does. I think it's one of those things. You move to a different country, you look like you're from there.
If I moved to Brazil, I'd fit in just fine with my arse.
Right, that's it. I want to. Where's really good for beach volleyball? I want to move there.
Sweden. Yeah.
Oh, no, Sweden. Sweden would be a good one, yes. We're going to go on to back page headlines, girlies. What's taken your fancy over the last few years in terms of entertaining you on that commute, the daily commute into work? We all have a flick through, and sometimes these people make us laugh, these sub-headline writers. I might go first on this one and inspire you to go forth. One of my favourites, I remember this, 1992 in The Sun, Swedes 2, Turnips 1. Do you remember that famous headline? Really made me laugh, and nothing really I did think was going to make me crack a smile the next day after that England game and the England performance. Disastrous England campaign in Euro 92. Ian Wright was left out of the squad completely. I could never understand that decision by Graham Taylor. And I don't think the writers at The Sun could either, hence the phrase turnip, and he went on to be known as a turnip for the rest of his career.
And the sub-headline was, that's your allotment.
Brilliant. I forgot that bit. But yes, that is one of my favourites. That's number one. Number two comes from an internet troll by myself. But I went through looking at back pages because that was one from memory. And this is one that I found and it is brilliant. So this is on Eurosport and it was on in 2001. And it refers to the Brazilian defender Argelico Fuchs, his controversial move to Benfica, having left the sworn rivals Porto only a year earlier. And obviously the writer behind this one thought, don't like this move, Fuchs off to Benfica.
Oh dear, I quite like that though.
But it's sort of, obviously it's a really bad swear word and my mum's brought me up better than to say that in a podcast.
But to have a surname.
But it's his surname.
Yeah, but to have a surname like Fuchs is just a gift for every sub-editor out there, isn't it?
We're going to save our own headlines for the end of this, I think. So which ones that are actually true have you enjoyed?
A headline involving two teams and a 5-4 scoreline. Two teams in Scotland. There you have it. Commentators and presenters who read the results have long dreamt of the tongue-twisting East Fife and Forfar
if it ended up 5-4. He's 5-4, 4-5. It sounds a bit cricket and a bit nonsense, doesn't it? But the result, it did actually happen. I think it featured in an advert once, years gone back. The 1st of January 1964 in the old Scottish Division 2, East 5-4, 4-5. I think it's brilliant. So it kind of works good when you say it as opposed to being a headline, but they did use it as a big headline as well. Also, another from the Northwest, many moons ago, Egil Ostenstad was taken by Blackburn Rovers from Southampton, briefly appeared at Manchester United as well a little while. In the headlines of the local press, Blackburn poaches egg. I like that one. I think that's good. There we go.
Fantastic. Kate Bosse.
Well, you reminded me one actually of one that I hadn't thought of before now. When Capello got the push or left by mutual consent, the back page headline, I think it was the Mail, was Arrivederci. Do you remember with the Harry Redknapp link? I liked that at the time. There was another one that I've just suddenly remembered where Peter Cech had negotiated a pay deal and it was something like Cech, Cech gets paycheck. Something like that. So to go into my headlines, a couple of them. One of them is really rude, actually, so I'm just going to leave that one out completely and go with a couple of favourites. When David Seaman decided that he wanted to quit Arsenal and join up with Kevin Keegan's Manchester City on a free transfer. And the most funny thing about this story is I read the article attached. He was going to have a whopping contract worth 30 grand a week.
Wow.
Oh, how times have changed.
Big bucks.
Big bucks indeedy. Anyway, the headline on Sky Sports, no less, was Keegan fills Schmeichel's gap with Seaman.
And this one wasn't your rude one. She's lost it, Hayley McQueen. She's lost it.
So naughty. But I mean, it's factual information just put there.
She's still loving it. Have you got any more, or is that just going to just
stop for us? When City were defeated against Ajax over in Amsterdam, the headline was Man City blown away on Amsterdam grass. And my absolutely favourite one of all time. Do you remember when Joe Royal was manager of Manchester City?
Yes.
And he had Paul Dickoff as a player.
Oh, no.
Until Royal axes Dickoff.
Oh, dear. Yours just all had the same theme going on there, Kate. And now we know what your sense of humour's like, don't we?
It's very basic. It's very basic indeed.
Trumps and burps all the way and a little bit of sexual innuendo. We're going to go with our own made-up headlines now. You can create a situation. I will give you an example with mine and then you can follow suit. There's lots of speculation at the moment that Ronaldo may be rejoining Manchester United. Did you hear those rumours, Hayley McQueen? Do you know anything?
I don't know anything, but here's hoping that one day he does. When Mourinho is in charge of Manchester United, he's going to bring Ronaldo back home.
What I did do was invent this situation whereby if Real Madrid did lose Ronaldo, what the local Spanish writers would write as their back page headline in Spain, it would be, do a run, Ron, Ron.
That's
like
brilliant.
Do you like? Do you like?
Run, run, run.
That's mine. What have you got?
So I put mine on an actual factual story. I did loads of work for this and then Linz went, oh, no, it doesn't have to be a real story. Anyway, one of the best-named footballers around, David Goodwillie. He's at Blackburn Rovers, of course, at the moment. But there was...
There's a theme here, isn't there?
I'm sorry, I'm so basic. My humour is basic, to be fair. So is my intelligence, but there we go. So he's at Blackburn. He was supposed to have a loan deal organised to Crystal Palace, but that didn't work out for him. And the article that I found in October was basically about him not being able to play any football until he gets a move in the January transfer window, until January, because of his loan spell at Crystal Palace not working out. And my headline for that was, scoring can't come soon enough for Goodwillie.
Shall we insert some tumbleweed?
You told me it was good when I showed it to you earlier.
Well, you can maybe have another go after me if you can beat this baby.
Oh, no.
Actually, this is useless. I didn't quite get the memo that we had to make one up of our own. So I've just been thinking off the top of my head. Middlesbrough FC promoted to the Premier League. There's your headline. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Where's that tumbleweed?
The tumbleweed is back and rolling around me and whisking me away out of the building. Okay, so I'm thinking, you've got to picture this, so shut your eyes wherever you are. Unless you're driving and you're listening to the podcast, don't do it. Just pull over and listen. Back page. Sir Alex Ferguson pictured, shouting and bawling.
as he sometimes does, so really animated. He's looking towards the right of the paper, looking towards the left, looking very sheepish in his big blanket puffy coat is Arsene Wenger, who's really unhappy about missing out on Wilfried Zaha, even though he pretends he's not and he didn't want him anyway. Manchester United finally get their man, and it just reads, Zaha! Like, aha! Like, in your face, Wenger. That is absolutely useless. And I will not ever get a job for a paper, but there you go.
We need something to rescue us, and it's going to come in the form of Twitter Topic of the Week. This is now a weekly feature. Please get involved via the Twitter page, at Offside Rule Pod. Give us a follow. You can get involved. And this week, it's inspired by Karen Carney, who plays football in the WSL, a legendary women's footballer who we love. Now, she... speaking of the word legend, posted a tweet this week saying, look at what legend I'm with. Open the picture, Sir Bobby Charlton. Amazing. It's inspired us to say, who's the biggest footballing legend you've met? Now, I've had some input. Hayley McQueen, listen up. We've got RedMank9 who got in touch to say Brian Robson. I was in the audience for MUTV's Wednesday Night at the Red Cafe, which Hayley McQueen once presented.
I was brilliant.
Oh, self-pronounced, but yeah. We've got Rhiannon Jones who's coming up because she's going to be our La Liga expert from now on, appearing on the podcast every now and again, giving us a roundup of all things Spanish football. And already she's getting involved with Liverpool legend Ian Callaghan before her Real Madrid days. And she tweeted us a picture, so you can go to the website to see that.
It's a really good picture, by the way.
It's a really good picture.
It looks very cute.
We'll also go on to Herbert Chapman's bust. Bust of Chapman is his Twitter name. Sir Bobby of Moore, when I was 11. Sadly, the picture is in my mother's house somewhere. Don't you hate that when your mum's got all your favourite pictures and you can't get them back? He also then tweeted back to try and show off. Also, Lee Dixon, Brian Marwood, Yossi Benayoun, we'll go on as well to the No Clash of Colours tweet. We met and I think this is the most impressive one. We met and photographed Pele in 2007 at Bramall Lane, part of Sheffield's 150th anniversary celebrations.
Pele do
versus Inter Milan. Now, this even tops all the figures in the audience at your 150 year celebration with the FA recently. Pele wasn't there, was he?
Lindsay, I enjoyed that day so much. Now you've ruined it. Thanks.
There were lots of other big names in that audience. Finally, I love this one as well because we love our female footballers and she's a lovely girl. Holly Cockbill said, I met Rachel Unit without even knowing it was her until afterwards. But she must have looked back when she was watching since in the WSL and thought, I know that face. She rings a bell. So who have we got who are our very own footballing legends that we've met? Now, I'm going to say and state here that to declare themselves as a legend, it means they must no longer be playing football, OK? Because Ryan Giggs would be one for me, but I'm not going to say that. So mine, I'm going to go with a player I admired very much when at his Blackburn and Newcastle days. I actually met the Alan of the Shearer, and I love... I loved him and such a great goal scorer, and he was someone that when he joined Match of the Day, I was really, really excited that he'd gone into punditry because there was much speculation. Of course, he had his stint with Newcastle that he was going to go into management, but I'm really pleased that he doesn't and that he's part of the Match of the Day setup. I really like his opinions. I don't think he's the best pundit in the world, but just because of how good he was, I'm always really interested in what he's got to say, especially about forwards and the way that striking is changing over the years. Alan Shearer, made him a Sports Personality of the Year, and that would be my legend. I don't have a photo, though.
Oh. Mine, I've been lucky enough to meet a few working at Manchester United. Obviously, I've interviewed Sir Alex quite a bit. I have met Bobby Charlton, but I love Jack Charlton. I was lucky enough to work with Jack. My dad played football, you may or may not know. He played for Leeds. He actually joined Leeds as a natural sort of successor to a Jack Charlton. So my dad was a big centre-half, and he used to speak about Jack and his football. So I did a little bit of research and what have you over the years, and I used to book him and his commentary positions, and I used to take tea up to various gantries when I worked for Borough TV in the Northeast. And Jack Charlton
didn't like sharing his sweets. He was an absolute hero. And I remember plucking up the courage just to sit next to him and take up a cup of tea. And he had these kind of mint humbug things, which he wouldn't use to commentate because, they, you know, but he liked a bit of a, he liked a sweet, always had a bag of sweets. You know, when like your grandparents have travel sweets in the car. And I literally went to take a sweetie and he wouldn't let me have one. And I was absolutely mortified. I know, but he was absolutely lovely. Really, really enjoyed him. I got on and had a lot more sort of free-flowing conversation with him than I ever did Bobby, but they're two very different people, as we know.
I haven't met any stellar heroes yet, although I might this year because there are a couple of interviews coming up that I'm very excited about that involve ex-Liverpool players. But I'm going to go for young Jamie Redknapp, just simply because he was my first proper football crush right from the early days. And we started working with him at Sky Sports and I was just told that I'd be doing an interview with him for a betting show we do. And luckily it was sprung on me at the last minute, because if it wasn't, I would have spent hours the night before prepping, not the information, of course, but my hair, my skin and everything else. And that was a huge relief, because when I met him, I was still able to kind of keep it together. Had I known about it in advance, I would have been a gibbering, girly mess.
We will move on now to La Liga Roundup. It's our foreign correspondent alert, Rhiannon Jones. What have you got for us?
Hi, girls. Thanks for having me on the show. This is how La Liga's looking at the time of recording on Friday afternoon. I'll start with the whites. In the second of three back-to-back clashes against Valencia, Real Madrid enjoyed arguably the best first half seen in La Liga so far this season. With a brace from Di Maria, a brace from Ronaldo and another goal from Higuain, they demolished Valverde's side 5-0 at Mestalla. 3 days later, same rival, same stadium, and nine-man Real Madrid secured their passage to the Copa del Rey semi-finals. The bad news, of course, is that the game saw goalkeeper and captain Iker Casillas forced from the pitch with a broken thumb, an injury that tends to take up to 6 weeks to mend. Real Madrid's next Copa del Rey opponents, Barcelona, suffered their first defeat of the league season this week after throwing away a two-goal lead at Real Sociedad. Meanwhile, a thrilling Copa del Rey quarter-final second leg at La Rosaleda saw them progress to the semi-finals with goals from Pedro Iniesta, Messi and Piqué, who celebrated with a thumb-sucking tribute to Milan, his newborn son, with Shakira. And while Barcelona captain Puyol has signed a contract extension that will see him stay at the club until 2016, shot stopper Valdés has refused to commit past his current deal, which ends in 2014. Now 8 points behind Barcelona, Atletico Madrid equaled their best ever winning streak at home in La Liga with their 12th straight victory against Levante, a clash that saw the Rojiblanco star player Falcao pick up a hamstring injury that isn't as serious as previously thought. Plenty of transfer rumours still flying around regarding El Tigre from various European clubs, including Pep Guardiola's next home, Bayern Munich, although the Colombian striker did say this week that his sole focus at the moment is lifting silverware at the Vicente Calderon. Atleti are also through to the Copa del Rey semi-finals. They'll meet Sevilla on Thursday, while the first of three Clásicos awaits on Wednesday at the Santiago Bernabeu. That's it for now from me here in the Spanish capital. Adios, chicas.
The female take on football.
OK, folks, so until next Monday, it's bye from us. Take care for the next 7 days. We don't usually tell them to take care.
Look after yourselves.
And each other.
Oh, how lovely. Nice sentiment. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Offside Rule. We get it. With Lindsay Hooper.